maybe not the best of times for a big retirement announcement to have Coach Odom on the program for the first time in a while, but great to catch up with him again as Tim Duncan has called it a career. Coach Odom, it's just super to have you on. How are you, sir?
My pleasure, Jay. My pleasure. Columbia, a big part of my life. I was down last week for not a very happy occasion, but in some ways, it was great to see everybody.
Yes, sir. And I want to talk about that first a little bit, too, that you were down for Rolando Howell's funeral and obviously a tragic situation. But, a kid that you recruited and worked hard. And as a local kid, that means a lot to college basketball programs. Before we talk about Tim a little bit, just remembering what Ro Howell meant to your team and program.
Well, he was one of those guys that, his smile just captured your heart. Even if you didn't want to like him, and I don't know anybody that didn't, you couldn't help but love him because he'd come into your office and maybe he wasn't playing as well as he should be playing or he'd missed a class or something like that. When he left, we would embrace each other, smile at each other and say, it's all right, let's keep going. He was just that kind of guy. And, there's a lot to be said for a kid who grows up in an area, Hopkins, South Carolina, who went to Lower Richland, then to University of South Carolina. He was a South Carolina Gamecock through and through, loved the university, and just loved playing for us, and we certainly enjoyed having him. I will say this. I think the Hopkins community will really embrace his son, R.J., who right. I think is just a great-looking kid and going to be fine.
Yes, sir. Well, it was certainly sad to hear of what Roe was going through these last few months. And, we all hope and believe that he is in a much better place right now. Coach Dave Odom joining us here on 107.5 The Game. Can't say any of us, Coach, to turn towards Tim were surprised by his decision. Let's kind of go there first. We'll reminisce about your time with him in just a second. But, boy, the superlatives, there may not be enough to describe what kind of basketball player Tim Duncan was throughout his career.
Well, you're probably right on that. But he's the kind of guy, he doesn't need the superlatives. I mean, he's just one who just quietly did his job. And even though he quietly did his job, he churned out big stories. He handled them very, very well. And basketball was everything to him, that and his family, for all those years. And I just couldn't be prouder of a player of mine. And, he just was a great kid to work with. He was a great basketball player, as we all know. And I'm glad to see the basketball world give him his due.
Well, yeah, let's go back, because he was not a heralded recruit like some. I mean, I imagine you see a big, tall kid like that. Hey, can he play basketball? But you managed to I don't want to know. Maybe you don't call it finding a diamond in the rough somewhere, Coach. But take us all through learning about Tim, recruiting him to Winston-Salem, and playing for you guys at Wake.
Well, that is true. I mean, we did find a diamond in the rough. he's in St. Croix, the Virgin Islands. That's not a stopping off place for any coach every year. So to get down there, there had to be something that was special. And, what happened is one of my players, a kid named Chris King, was down for the summer along with some other NBA draftees. And, he came back to Winston-Salem, was walking in the hall one day. I saw him, called him in, asked him, if rhetorically, if he'd seen anybody we ought to be recruiting. He said, yeah, there was one kid down there, and he didn't know his name, didn't know what island was on or anything else, and I put one of my ace recruiters on him. The next day he came in with a name, and we made one trip down there and got him.
Had he had any contact? I mean, look, it's Wake Forest is in the ACC. You're in a big league and a well-known basketball school. What school, even close to comparably, might have even had contact with Tim back then? Do you have any remembrance or recollection?
I do. Georgetown had some contact with him, but they sent an assistant down. He didn't like the assistant, so that we're out. And I think I can say that now. And then Providence probably was the other school, but, you know, they wanted him to visit in January. Now, I don't know if you can envision, you know, a guy that's never even come close to seeing or experienced snow going to Providence in January.
Right.
I mean, Rick Barnes was the coach up there then. They had no chance. I mean, he pulled that kind of stunt.
Right.
We'd already had him visited, so we had him pretty much for whatever, all that ever happened.
Yeah, and for talking about a guy like that, you know, you don't necessarily know what he's going to turn into, but at what point, and I don't even mean to ask you that you knew he was going to be, you know, four or five-time NBA champion and gold medal winner and all those things, but when did you realize, boy, this kid's maybe a little better than I thought he was?
Well, right away, you know, because, you know, I brought him in with the idea we were going to redshirt him that first year. I'd just seen him play that one time on the outdoor court. And, you know, he was, you know, he had some raw skills, but he wasn't anywhere close to being ready to play. But in his early 6-8 weeks of being at Wake Forest, he began to improve. I'd also recruited two other big kids to go with him, and neither one of those were going to be able to play that that opening of the season, so I just stuck him in there, and he more than held his own, much better than I thought he would. And next thing I knew, we were faced with a new starting center at Wake Forest. And, you know, as far as when I knew he was going to be, or I thought he was going to be special, probably the middle of his sophomore year.
Right. 220. Sorry, Coach. Go ahead.
Well, actually, between his freshman and sophomore year, he was picked to play on one of those national teams, and he did very well. He played against the Sabonis and some of those other players and did very well in it. But the middle of his sophomore year, we were playing North Carolina. They had Rasheed Wallace and Antoine Jameson and Jerry Stackhouse, those guys. And he was the best player on the court. And at that point, we knew that we had something special.
Coach Dave Odom with us here on 107.5 The Game, 222 now on this Monday afternoon. Jay Phillips and Tommy Moody with you here on the program. Tommy, you got a couple things for Coach?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Coach Odom something. Coach Tommy Moody back in the studio in Columbia. Obviously, with Tim Duncan on the court and off, a representative of Wake Forest and the Spurs, of course, that you couldn't top that. Very fortunate. I know you had to be around Tim Duncan. I want to ask you about an ACC tournament championship from back in the day. You had Randolph Childress and Tim Duncan on the same team, and I don't even think they were expected to win the championship. I know you were upper tier. You were top two or three in the league, but have you ever had a team play better than that one when Randolph Childress just went off?
Well, that's probably the most memorable one because it was done on a national scale in front of the whole country, and everybody saw it. I do think, I will say this, and I think this is a timely comment, that the team that won the first NIT championship with the Gamecocks,
mm-hmm.
Trey Kelly, Brandon Wallace, Rocky Trice, Ronaldo Bachman, and Carlos Powell. That was a team that was very special. I think that was the team that we lost to Florida on a tip-in by Noah.
Noah.
Had we won that in SEC championship, we'd have gone to the NCAA tournament. I think we would have gone really, really far. That was probably our best South Carolina team, and I think was in some ways equal to the Duncan Childress team at Wake Forest. Being down in Columbia last week and seeing those guys at Rolando Howell's funeral reminded me of how good that team really was. At that time of the year, it could play against anybody in the country.
Have you ever seen a player that had more of a knack? You mentioned Ronaldo Bachman, that had more of a knack for knowing where the ball is going to come off the rim than that young man?
No, he was excellent with that. He really was. And he was quick to the ball. That was the other thing. He could get there quick. and get his hands on it, and he had a great head on his shoulders as far as basketball was concerned.
Catching up with Coach Dave Odom here on 107.5 The Game with the announcement this morning that Tim Duncan has called it a career after 19 seasons in the NBA, all, of course, with the San Antonio Spurs. Coach, at this point in his life and yours, how often do you get to keep up with Tim? Obviously, we all watch him on television, and I'd also like to know kind of a part B, how often you might, if at all, talk with a guy like Greg Popovich, who I think is incredibly underappreciated, if not necessarily underrated, as one of the great coaches of all time at the pro level as well.
Well, as far as Tim and I, we talk probably a couple times a month. I'm not one of those coaches that stays on top of my players once they leave. I mean, he's got another life and another coach, and I try to let him have the room to enjoy that. But we do keep up with each other, so I'm very pleased with the relationship that we've been able to continue all these years. And I do think that Tim was incredibly fortunate to have Greg Popovich as his coach. I think he's one of the best, if not the very best coach in America today. And I think his evidence by the fact that he's going to be our next Olympic coach testifies to that point.
And when you look at how, I don't know if there's similarities. I don't know that you would carry on the TV timeout conversations the way Greg Popovich has done these last few years and has become kind of known for that as well. But they're a very no-nonsense and kind of team. And I really feel like that was a lot of your MO at Wake and at Carolina. You know, we're here to play basketball, boys, and that's what we're going to go do, and we're going to do it the right way. It seems like there couldn't have been a more perfect place. I think you just kind of alluded to that, but maybe expound a little bit more, that there couldn't have been a more perfect place or perfect team than to go to San Antonio, where basketball is king, and there's not a whole lot else going on in the city, at least professionally speaking, and to play for a man like Greg Popovich.
Well, that's true, no question about it. And don't forget, they were just coming up. They were just at the very tail end of David Robinson's tenure.
Right.
And so, you know, you say, well, Greg Popovich, yes, no question about it. He was a great leader, great coach, and the right one for Tim. But I think he was also had the advantage, and Tim would tell you this, of being around David Robinson the first couple of years was a tremendous advantage for him. David Robinson showed him what it was like from a player's side. Greg Popovich showed him what it was like to be, you know, to have a great coach and, you know, kind of leading through the first couple of years at the NBA level.
I don't want you to spill too much about what y'all have in your relationship, but was there ever a point with the amount of money that's thrown around in the NBA that Tim may have considered leaving San Antonio, or would the Spurs and their ownership group never have allowed that to happen?
I'm sorry, I lost you on that last thing.
No, I say that did Tim, you know, ever entertain, you know, just because of the amount of money thrown around in the NBA? Do you know if he ever entertained at least for a little while, or maybe picked your brain about leaving?
Definitely not. I think he went through that second re-upping, and I think he went through the the process, but he never considered leaving. He's always been happy in San Antonio, and that's where he wanted to stay an entire career. And I can tell you, without any fear of contradiction, he never really considered it.
Where do we place Tim? And that's the thing, you know, I told Tommy earlier, you know, you feel like maybe you could compare him directly to a guy like Kareem, you know, unassuming, unselfish, terrific teammate, hard worker. They didn't necessarily play the same position, I was saying earlier, but I mean, they're almost cut from the exact same cloth. There's just so few of those guys, Coach.
Well, you know, history is going to do that for us, so we don't have to worry about that. But, you know, I do think that at this point, you know, if you want to, you can make a case for him being at the very top. I'm not saying the best player to ever play the game. I'm just saying somewhere in the top five, top seven, top eight, I wouldn't argue with anybody wherever you place him there. But I do think he, you know, given his accomplishments, five rings, MVP, countless number of MVP, All-Star games, those kind of thing, Rookie of the Year, all of those things came his way. But I think the fact that he accomplished all those things with such grace and style and integrity, and just the way that everybody was used to him acting and reacting, I think bodes very well for him. So, you know, wherever it falls, I'll be happy with it. But he'll be at the very top. There's no question about that.
Right. And a couple of gold medals to boot in there, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So pretty good stuff, or at least a couple of times on the U.S. Olympic basketball team. So some good stuff for Tim Duncan. Coach, before we let you go, just kind of catch us up on what you and Lynn are up to these days and where home is and how much maybe you get to keep up at least a little bit with both Wake and Carolina's basketball programs.
Well, I still follow both programs. I love the Gamecocks. I think Trey Martin is doing a great job with them. They had a great start last year. Tough ending, but nonetheless doing a really, really good job. I'm really happy for him, and I look for big things there. Danny Manning here at Wake Forest, you know, he's got a good collection of big men. I think his guards are going to be in good. He's going to have a better team this year than they had last year. So even though I'm out of, you know, everyday coaching, I still follow my two favorite collegiate teams, and I pull hard for them each and every day. As far as I'm concerned, I'm the chairman of the Maui Invitational Tournament. You know, that's been a very, very good thing for me. I go back and forth to the islands two, three, four times a year. So it's been really, really good, and I've had a good time. Lynn's doing well. We're spending all of our summers on the coast, and we're down there now, and we look forward to you know, finishing up another couple of months down here. We'll be back in Winston-Salem. I hope to come back for a Gamecock game this year. I haven't seen them play since I left, but I'd love to come back to Carolina Coliseum and see that.
Well, when you do, Colonial Life Arena, yes, sir.
But that's Colonial fine. But,
that's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, that's all right. Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah. No, they're good about it. And when you do, we'll look to get you in studio or something like that. We'd love to do it. Listen, I truly appreciate the time today on a happy enough occasion for a guy like Tim Duncan to call it quits.
Oh, yeah, but, I'm happy.
Yeah, and very few people know him like you do, and it's great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for the time, and let's do this again soon enough.
You're very welcome. Thank you, and good luck to everybody. Go
Thank
game.
You, Coach.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate that. Good stuff from Coach Dave Odom.